Well, really, everybody knows Brother Raymond, and I wanted to read a verse that God gave to me several months ago as I was praying for the Raymonds. And Hebrews 6 and verse 10, it says this: "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Brother Raymond, you come. Give him a hand.
All right. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, if you would. Open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. Brother Engel, that was great. Where is he? He disappeared. There he is. There he is. That was great. My wife, she likes to sing Jeffrey songs before he nods off to sleep and all that. She sings it quite a bit softer and with a little bit of a higher pitch voice. I almost closed my eyes again. That was good. That was really good. And all the special music has been good. Did you really enjoy that one right after the choir special? That was spirit-led. And it's true. That's true. It's one of those songs you just never forget. It's kind of like if you've ever had the opportunity to go down to Walt Disney World, It's a Small World still is in your head somewhere. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Would you like me to sing it? Just get it started now? No. That's okay. You've had to bear one song, and we'll just leave it at that. So, well, of course, kind of an emotional evening for our family. We knew this day has been coming. We didn't really know exactly when, but the Lord has obviously ordained it for it to be this evening. I just want to thank you so much for being here, of course. And without getting too emotional, I haven't been crying at all today. My eyes have just been sweating a lot. I just want to tell you again just how much I love you and appreciate you. We'll never be able to say enough. 29 years our family has been a part of Brigham Baptist Church. That is amazing to think about. 29 years. And we pulled in the parking lot of Brigham Baptist Church, and I believe we came here for a couple weeks, and Pastor Mills was just leaving and all that, and Pastor Mike Cox had come up from Lewis Avenue, and you folks had voted him in. And when he started coming, we started coming, and just been here ever since. Good night. Where is there a better place to go? And this is the place. We've always believed that. And let me ask you this, just out of sheer curiosity, how many of you have been here, I'd say since 1981, you're all here, but how many of you were here in 1981? Can I see your hands? Look at that. Look at that. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Very good. You may put your hands down. And what a family we've had. What a family we've had. And we love you. We sure do appreciate you. If I could, I would just give this church a big old hug. I'm overweight, but I'm not that big. But I would just give you all a huge hug. Thank you so much just for investing in me when I was younger, for putting up with me. No, that was not the time. Let's save the amening for the Bible, not this self-criticism. But anyway, I just want to tell you again how much we love you, and we'll always have a part of Berean in our hearts. And there's just no way around it. Angel, she just feels like she's been here forever, and as well just feels the exact same way. They're not visiting, but I'm glad that my brother, Jay, and his wife Colleen and their son Jacob could be here. Many of you remember him. And he paved the way for me to get into the principal's office. And yeah, again, why the amen in there, you know? So, for a few years there, I guess, like they said, the inmates were running the prison, and now we've moved on. But anyway, so we sure do love you, and we appreciate you greatly. I'll never be able to say enough, but we just want you to know again how much we love you. And for those of you maybe who aren't quite up to date as to what's going on, we are going down to Tampa, Florida, and there's a church down there, Westgate Baptist Church and Westgate Christian School, and I have the opportunity to be their Christian School administrator. They have about 103 enrolled. We're expecting that number is going to climb considerably by Christmas, and just for various reasons, the pastor there, Pastor George Pert, sends you his greetings. He knew this night was coming as well, and just wanted to let you know again how much he appreciates your work and your investment in my life. We're looking forward to going down there and serving with him, a very young man, 32 years of age. The Lord's hand of blessing is definitely upon him. Just talked to him again just the other day, and this last Wednesday, their midweek soul winning, they had 62 people out soul winning, and so they've had a very strong soul winning program this summer, and looking forward to even greater things in the fall, and we're looking forward to being a part of that as well. And so Westgate.org is the website if you want to check that out sometime. I know many of you are internet savvy, and if you want to look at that, Westgate.org. We'll be staying at the church for quite some time while we look for housing, and I give it the address to the church if needed, and we can get that printed. But again, if you want to look it up online, the church's address will be right there. Having said that, I did want to make this announcement. We are having the moving trucks, plural, here tomorrow. Not here, but at our house tomorrow. And so if you would be willing to help us out, we're looking for strong backs and strong arms. And Brett Hutchins especially, he knows exactly what we're getting into. We have two 26-foot trucks that we have rented. Why does that surprise everybody when I tell them that? Don't you have that much junk in your basement too? You never know it. You don't. You never know it until you see it and you have to put it in a box. We're blaming our two-year-old because he can't defend himself. And he's the reason why we have all this stuff, but really we had most of it before he got here, so we have to take the blame. And but if there's any men, hey, if you're a strong-backed, strong-armed woman, you want to come help, we'll take it. And we're desperate. We've got two trucks to fill in 2 days. But if you would, if anybody is interested, we'll be meeting over at our house around 4 o'clock or so. I know they give most of you a chance to get off work and be just going for a while and see if we can get everything loaded up there. We'll see. So so that'll be 4 o'clock tomorrow. And just out of sheer curiosity, how many do you think you might be able to make that? 4 o'clock tomorrow. Hands all over the place, mostly women. Okay, several guys trying to get out of soccer practice. That's good. Okay, all right, several hands there. That'll be fine. If you would, just meet at our house. And again, we'll have some supper there for you if you'd like to eat something. And we'll load the trucks, hopefully, till they're finished. And by the way, you do realize there are no basements in Florida, too, don't you? And so pray for our housing situation there because we can't afford two houses. And but it appears we have two houses worth of stuff. And we just thought we were never going to move. We just thought we were here for lifers. That was our mistake right there. And so, yeah, that looks good. I think that'll help us. Let's get that. Boy, if I had some receipts. Anyway, so praise the Lord for it. But anyway, if you'd be willing to help us, that'd be great as well. Well, I don't know about other preachers here in the room where you typically write your sermons. Sermons that come to me, again, I don't preach often enough to say I have a regular preaching schedule or anything like that, but sermon ideas have come to me in many different ways. I've had sermon ideas come to me, of course, on an airplane, in a car. A lot of times sermons come to me while listening to other sermons. And I knew, though, of course, weeks and really months ago, I knew this day was coming. And this sermon especially came to me in the night. I think a lot of times they do. For many preachers, I hear testimonies about the sermons come to them in the night. This one did. And this sermon literally was written on our bathroom floor. Now, if you don't come to our house and it's not written on the floor, I did write it on a piece of paper, but for some reason, that's just where it just, you know, Brother Bowman used to say that he did his best study work and all that in a bathroom stall. I don't know about that. Brother Gary Bowman, that is. Brother Bowman's like, I never said that. Not you, sorry. And but that's where this one came from. Brother Dale Stewart joked with me. He's like, all these years we've only taught you 5 lessons. It's like, let's just stick with this 5, okay? And there are others, I suppose. But anyway, Daniel chapter 12. Let's get into it. And let's see what the Bible has to say for us today. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. The Bible says, and they that be wise. I'm sorry, Daniel 12, 3. You're all turning still. Daniel chapter 12. And let's look at verse 3. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. If you'd like to, your outline is in the bulletin. Supposed to be anyway. I believe it is. And feel free to fill that out. And hopefully this will be a blessing to you tonight. The Bible says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. If you still have your earplugs in your ears from last Sunday night, you can take them out now. I'm not loud, and that's just not how I am. But anyway, so if you've left them in there all this time, now that my special singing's over and all that, you can take them out now. And were you really that harsh on her, Brother Noble? You take him back behind the woodshed quite a bit? No. Apparently not enough? Okay. All right. It was good. And all right, very good. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much again for our church. Thank you for Bringing Baptist Church. Thank you for the investment that it's been in my life. Lord, I owe a debt to a lot of folks. I owe a debt to a godly mother and father who trained me and taught me the right way and who led me and supported me through all that we've done. I owe them a great debt. I owe my wife a debt for being my cheerleader by my side, my very best friend on the earth, and Lord, who's just supported me and encouraged me and I know prayed for me. I owe a debt. I owe debt to my family members, my brother and my sister and their family, and for the encouragement that they've been to me and the challenge that they've been to me. I owe them a debt. Lord, I owe this church a great debt. One that I like to spend the rest of my life trying to repay. I trust I've been their investment. They've given their lives to me. My Sunday school teachers sit before me. My coaches sit before me. My BBA teachers sit here before me this evening. My church family is here. And Lord, this is our opportunity, our final opportunity, maybe for a little while. I certainly hope and trust that we'll be back here again someday and just to see what you're doing. But Lord, for now, this is the message that you've given to me. Please speak through your word. I just want to be a blessing tonight. And I pray that my emotions would be set aside for now. And Lord, that I could just, well, as we sang, just preach the word and just be a blessing to folks. If you'll do that for us tonight, I sure would be grateful. Use me, I pray this one last time. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as you see there in your notes, there are some lessons that I've learned. I love education. Some people, no chance. I do. I love it. I love learning how things work almost as much as enjoying what they do. I like that kind of thing. I like that behind the scenes kind of thing. Just to see, how does that work? How does that do that? I think that's one of the reasons why I love teaching so much. I love education so much. Because I love seeing all that it takes to get the product. And so as you see there, I've got a simple outline for us this evening, I believe, on just five lessons that Berean Baptist Church has taught me. Brother Stewart's right, there are many more. But let's just look at these five this evening, and then we'll be done. We'll go downstairs and get a bite to eat. Soul winning, number one. Soul winning is at the core of our greatness. Soul winning is at the core of our greatness. For as long as I can remember here at Berean Baptist Church, the heartbeat, the core, has been soul winning. I remember that from Pastor Cox. I came here, I was probably only about 7 years of age, probably back in 1981. Probably about seven, maybe eight, just depending there on the exact time. But I just always remember that. I remember all the different ministries that he started. How many of you remember the Fisherman's Club that we used to have? Do you remember that? Yeah. Many of you were in that. I still remember to this day getting in the car with my dad, and he had that soul-winning cassette that Brother Phil Hilditch had made. You remember that? And he just kind of went through the whole soul-winning plan and all that, and we'd get in the car, and Dad would put that tape in, or it was already in there, and we'd be going, "Hey, Dad, what's that? Oh, you know, that's my soul-winning tape," and all that kind of thing, and we do Fisherman's Club and all that, and wow, what a ministry that was here for this church. Probably at one time at its height, probably 30 to 40 people, I suppose, maybe even more. I don't remember. I was a child then, but probably about 30 or 40 people got together. It seemed like it was on Thursdays, and they gathered together, have a meal and all that. You can't be good Baptist and not eat when you get together, right? And you got to have something there. And so, but then they would eat, and then, you know, there would be a training time and all that, and then he'd send them out. Wow, what a ministry that has been for this church, the Fisherman's Club. I remember that. I'm glad to hear so many of you remember that as well. And but again, 30 to 40 people there would come. Then I remember back in 2001, we were going to start what was called the Andrew Fellowship. And it was interesting. Pastor Toby Weaver, of course, was here at the time. And we just got this. We were just getting ready to get started. And then Pastor Weaver left to go out to Lancaster. He went out to West. But I came across, of course, I've been packing now. Obviously, with two trucks, we've been packing for a while. And I came across the sign-up sheet. I don't know why I ended up with the sign-up sheet, but I came across it. And several of your names were on there. And I was so pleased about that. But just the soul-winning emphasis that we've always had. Look over at the book of James, if you would, for a moment. James chapter 1, and let's just see just another aspect about this. Again, these are things you've taught me. These are things that I've learned in my days here at Berean. And so let's look at this one again together as well. This is a challenge to us. This lesson here is a challenge to us. James chapter 1 and verse 25. The Bible says in verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer," here it is though, "but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I think that's why Berean Baptist Church has enjoyed the blessings that we have over these years, is because we've not been a forgetful hearer, but we've been a doer of the work. You see that a lot in our church. Of course, the Fair Ministry just ended a couple weeks ago. Brother Chase got his hair dye, and it went from all gray. Now it's back to that nice dark hair again, and he's dyed it out because the fair, trust me, it'll make you gray. And it's true. But anyway, but again, a great number of folks saved there. At the beginning of the summer, Vacation Bible School, and over 100 young people saved this year. Phenomenal, phenomenal results there. And praise the Lord for it. Of course, we have the prison ministry. Every week, we just hear of folks getting saved in the prison ministry. What a wonderful, wonderful thing we have here at Berean. But here's a challenge that I have, and here's something that I think actually we could do a little bit better on. It is just our weekly soul winning efforts here at Berean. That's something that I hope, you know, when we come back, hopefully at Christmas time or maybe next summer or whenever, I hope that's something that's revived a little bit here at Berean. It's just our weekly soul winning. Now I know what you're saying. Well, bless God, brother, I'm always prepared to go soul winning. That's good if that's true. If that's true. But I don't know about you. I have to have designated times to do some things or else they don't typically get done. We're also supposed to pray without ceasing, but I know if I don't have that designated time, I don't get much praying in. We're supposed to be in the Word. You know, I know if I don't have that set aside, though, it typically doesn't get done. And I hope that's something that, to be honest with you, I think we can improve on here at our church, is just our weekly soul winning. And again, maybe Pastor Rogers can look into, there are so many great programs out there now from West Coast and others, and maybe we can start something like that and get back to our weekly soul winning. Our numbers of 30 and 40 people out soul winning. That's one of the things that really bonded my heart to Westgate right away, was immediately when Pastor Pert and I started talking about the soul winning program and his desire by this fall to have 100 people out soul winning on a Wednesday. They do it on that singular date. That does include teenagers, but I know it's primarily adults. 100 people out soul winning. You say, well, yeah, that's a mega church. That church is the same size as this one. Westgate is the exact same size as this one. Runs about 475, and they only have two buses. And so it's something we can do. That is a lesson you've taught me, though. Pastor Brian Dedrick actually was the literal one who taught me how to win somebody to Christ. And I used to love being his soul winning partner. And I remember vividly the first time. It was, I believe, back in 1989. And we were going through one of the trailer parks. And he and I had gone, and I think he'd actually led somebody to the Lord and all that. So we were back on the bus, and he was going around to pick up some other people. And there was a couple boys on a little hill of dirt there, and on their bicycle. And he said, you know what, Justin? He said, it's time. Go tell them about Christ. I was like, oh, that's okay. You can come with me. He's like, no, you go ahead. I got to go pick everybody else up. I was like, really? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And so sure enough, I went over there to the little dirt pile where the boys were. And one of them, I think, just kind of sped off on his bike. And but the other one stayed there. And I think it was about March 27th, I think, if I have the date right. Very, very cold. But I remember there, that young boy bowed his head and prayed and received Christ as his Savior. That's the investment that you've given to me. All the folks that I've seen since then, and the Lord has certainly blessed me. We've shared some unusual stories, that's for sure. I've led a Catholic priest to the Lord. I remember that story vividly. I remember down in Pensacola, I led a teenage young man to the Lord that had AIDS. He'd been involved in a sodomite relationship, and he had AIDS. He told me afterwards, and I led him to the Lord. And we've been able to see many, and of course, you have many great stories to share as well. You've taught me that. You've taught me that lesson. But I'm fearful at times, though, maybe we've kind of gotten away from that a little bit. It's not the emphasis that it should be here. It is the core of our greatness. That's what James says. Notice what he says. This man shall be blessed in his deed. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord's blessing on my life. To be honest with you, I need the Lord's blessing on my life. And so does our church. And I want the Lord to bless our church. I want this church to go strong till we hear the rapture trumpet. And then we're gone. And let's be really right where we're supposed to be in this area of soul winning. Make it a matter of your weekly schedule. Just make it a part. Oh, I know. We should be soul winning all the time. But let's just start there. Let's just start there. Let's just get back to it. Let's just not let it be a staff thing. Let's not let it be a bus worker thing. Let's let it be a Berean thing.
And let's just get back to this matter of soul winning. So soul winning is at the core of our greatness. Then number two, we are at our best when we're helping others. We are at our best when we're helping others. These are things you've taught me. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Look over there. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. We are at our best when we're helping others. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. By the way, verse 4 is not promoting covetousness. Look not every man on his own things. Those of you that are coming to help us move tomorrow, you're going to be amazed at the number of things we apparently have. And that's not what he's talking about, though. He's just talking about looking for the needs of others. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, now verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a, next word, servant. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's such an unusual way that the Lord Jesus Christ chose to come down. If you were God of very gods as he is, wouldn't you come down as a conqueror? Wouldn't you come down as a king? Wouldn't you just come down and just rule and just dominate? Wouldn't you think you would? I mean, for all those thousands of years that he sat there and just watched sin run rampant upon the earth, don't you think Jesus, you know, would come down? But that's not what he did. That's not what he did at all. He came down in the form of a servant. A servant. I got to tell you something. I think we're at our best when we're helping others. We kind of joke about the sign-up sheets and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you'll get the sign-up sheet. You know, Daryl Strawberry signed up for something. And that's, most people don't even know who that is. LeBron James is on there. It's like, yeah, buddy, just give your tithe, we're set. But anyway, you know, that's it. He can help us with that. You know, but you see the sign-up sheets and all that kind of thing. And our church really does a marvelous job with sign-up sheets, except for the nursery. We kind of struggle with that nursery thing. And, you know, but still, but it's just amazing how this church just constantly likes to help others. They just like, you know, just give us a project. I think we're at one of our finest moments, typically the week of missions conference. You really, man, you turn it on. I got to tell you, we know this from when Pastor Cox was here. Most of the successful missions conferences that go on across our nation started because of this one. They're doing a lot of the things that we're doing. Honestly, you check it out. If you trace back really where they got their ideas from, it came from Berean Baptist Church. All the amazing things. What a video that would be to see all the things that we've given away over the years. I know used cars have been given away. I can only imagine the dollar amounts that have been given away. It would just probably, blow our minds, theologically speaking, to think about that, how much this church gives to others. Wow. You know what? Jesus said that's what I'm doing. I believe it's at the book of John. And he says, you know what? He said, the world could not contain the books written to tell all the things that Jesus did. Whew. Wow. I don't know if we can go that far and say that much about Berean Baptist Church, but I got to tell you something. There would be an awful lot of books written. They really would. I'll tell you this. There would be an awful lot of books written just what you've done for me and my family. The kindnesses that you've shown to us. We've enjoyed even just a meal this week. The Henses came by and brought a meal for us. And can you believe it took us 2 days to eat all that? Can you believe that? That's amazing. And it was good. I mean, it was the roast, and it was the potatoes, and it was the carrots and all that. And it was the tomatoes. I steered a little clear of the tomatoes because I found a plate of cookies, and it was just so good. You know, that's just, now you get into it. That's just how this church works. That just seems like that's just how we're wired. Just help, just show us the need, we're going to get on board. And I have no doubt in my mind, we'll have a great number of fellows out helping tomorrow. And it's just like that all the time. Work days, when there's work days, you know, set up at the fair, tear down at the fair, and all that kind of, maybe the tear down, not as popular. But the setup, everybody loves. And, you know, but still, that's just how our church is. And Jesus said, you know what, he said, that's how I came. Of course, you remember right before his crucifixion, traditionally, of course, we call this the Last Supper. What did Jesus do afterwards?
He girded himself with the towel, and he bent down and he started washing the disciples' feet. Of all the things that he could be doing right before the crucifixion, just in case you've missed all this time, fellas, I'm going to serve you again. And so he just starts washing feet. He just starts washing feet. Boy, I tell you what, I pray that's always going to be our mentality. Let's just always be the kind of foot-washing type of church. Not that we do that literally. I don't think most people want to see our feet, but there's an awful lot of flip-flop wearing, I've noticed, too. But, you know, not necessarily that kind, but you know what? Let's just always have that kind of servant's attitude. That's one thing you've taught me. You've taught me that we're at our best when we're helping others. Well, number three, let's keep moving. Joshua chapter 14. Let's look at Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10. I've not talked to the Ingalls about this, but I would dare say one of the reasons why Caleb received his name was probably from this character in the Bible. Also because it starts with the letter C. And just saying. But I dare say this is probably one of the reasons why everybody loves the story, you know, of Caleb. We offer up songs in the school, you know, and I want that mountain and all this kind of thing. But let's look at the story here just for a moment. In Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive." This is Caleb speaking, as he said, "these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." He's 85 years old. 85 years old. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Number three, one of the lessons that you've taught me, one of the lessons that I've learned here. Number three, be where you are. Make this your church. Be where you are. Make this your church. What do I mean? Take possession. I'm afraid there's just too many people that go to this church. Quit coming to this church. Don't take that the wrong way. Quit coming to this church. Make this your church. I'm not necessarily just talking about an amen membership either. I'm talking about you take possession of it. Let me ask you something. How many of you guys remember your first car? You remember your first car? All right. How many of you wish you still had it? Yeah, look at it. That's funny. More hands went up than before. I remember my first car. And most anybody that remembers me, Rob knows, he's laughing already. Quit laughing. And I remember this car. It was a 1979 Chevy Impala. And it was, brother, the hood of it was probably about as big as this front section. It was massive. It was a massive vehicle. I remember we had gone down to Georgia and we're visiting my grandfather, and Dad and I had talked a little bit, you know, about getting our, you know, my first car. My freshman year of college at Pensacola, I borrowed Jay's 10-speed bike. I worked at Taco Bell at the time. Lord forgive me. And, again, the amen why. But you know, I would borrow Jay's 10-speed bike. I just kept it there on campus, and I rode that 10-speed bike to work, to Taco Bell. Well, if you know anything about the panhandle of Florida, the weather, you just never know. It's going to change on you pretty fast. Probably more times just about than not. I showed up to work wet as could be, just from the rain and all that kind of thing. It wasn't a long ride. I think probably about a couple miles was off from the campus. And I showed up typically soaking wet like a dog, and they basically sent me back to the grill area. It was really healthy, I'm sure. You know, raindrops are coming off my hat, dripping into the oil. And it was healthy. This burger tastes like dye. I'm not sure why. Actually, it's not a burger at Taco Bell. But anyway, so actually, it could have been. I saw what went on back there. Pretty much all the rumors, it's pretty true. It's pretty true. And let's just move on. And but I remember, so, you know, it's like, well, you know, it sure would be great to get a car. And, yeah, you know, we need to get a car from, you know, down south and all that. And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. So we were down in Georgia, and I think it was during the summer and all, and so we found it. So we're looking through the newspaper. I mean, of course, I'm looking, you know, man, I want a 65 Mustang and all this kind of thing, you know. Not quite my price bracket, you know, about $1,000. And, you know, so I was like, maybe not. So we found one, though. This 79 Chevy Impala. Dad's like, oh, man, he said it'd be great for you to get that one. I didn't know what the thing looked like.
And so we were driving around, and sure enough, it was like, oh, there it is. Kind of a baby blue. Let's call it faded. Baby sounds like a sissy. And it's kind of a faded blue, a light North Carolina Tar Heel blue. Let's call it that. And that thing was sitting there in the driveway and all that kind of thing. And Dad's like, oh, there you go. I was like, man, that is a manly car. And it was huge. It was massive. And so I remember we worked it out and all that and talked to the owner and all that. And I think I borrowed some money from my grandpa. And actually, I borrowed some money to buy some tires for it. He was a big tire guy. The biggest tires you're legally allowed to have, that's what you need on that car. And so I took him up on it. It was awesome. And so I remember getting that car. And, man, I remember driving it home from Georgia. You don't mess with me. It was a good time. And the liner in it was sagging on my head and all that kind of thing. Man, I didn't care. Man, I was driving that thing home. And we got that thing home, and again, I was a college guy with a few bucks, and I was like, all right, man, we're gonna soup this thing up. And, so we took it in, and we had the headline, we had that thing all replaced, all the upholstery, and, it didn't have a good sound system in it, so I went to, where the authority in audio electronics, Walmart. And, I went there, and I bought, the baddest speakers they had, like Jensen's. And I got the kind that sit up on end so you could just, so you could hear all the choir music blaring at the front and all that kind of thing. Brother Steve Pearson actually installed those for me. Do you remember that? I still owe you. And, man, he put those things, the subwoofer, please. It was more like a meow. But anyway, but we put that thing in the back window, and Mom's like, you ought to put like sheepskin in the back window. I was like, is that cool? And she's like, it used to be. And I was like, let's do it. And I had sheepskin. You remember this, Rob? I had sheepskin. I slept in the back of that car one night. But, man, you had sheepskin in there. That thing was just, man, this is a good car. And so, man, I was so excited about that thing. I got down to Pensacola, and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to spice this thing up a little bit more. I'm going to get wire wheels put on that thing. And so I went to Walmart, and I bought 4 wire wheels for like 12 bucks. And, I put those things on, those fine plastic pieces of wire wheels, and get out of my way, man. I had my V8 engine. I had my dual exhaust. I was ready. I love that car. Past tense. And, college guys are a little rough on their cars, though. And that V8, man, that thing, you could probably beat me off the starting line at the stoplight. But, man, you let me put that thing all the way down. I'm catching up to you, and I'm going to go buy you. And I'm going to be loud while I'm doing it, too, playing my choir music. And, I'm going to pass you up on that thing. And that car was just so great. And I remember the first time, oh, no. I remember the first time I found a dent on that thing. Jay, do you remember how we fixed that? Do you remember what we did? I went to my brother's house. Jay lived down at Pensacola at the time. And so I showed up and was like, oh, Jay, man, look at this. There's a dent in my car. Because this was back then when cars were made of metal. And I was like, oh, there's a dent in my car. And all he's like, man, we can take care of that. You know what we did? We went in the house and we got us a toilet plunger. And so we came out there and, man, we popped that dent out good as new. Good, and I got my little, just kind of rubbed that thing down. It was smooth again. And I was like, there you go, that's right. And my car was backstyling. And I remember, of course, we get some rains down at Pensacola. Oh, it would rain. And we go down, I guess it was Rawson, yeah, because it was the chapel there. Man, they had the best puddles on Ross. And when we were bored and broke, what's that?
Rivers.
Yeah, they were good. They were really good. And so we were bored and broke. And so my roommate and I, what we do is we go down, we get in my car. And I'm not saying this is the right thing to do. I'm just saying this is what I did. I'm about to tell you one of the things you did not teach me. And but we get to the end of the road. And you could see, it was the college basically owned everything there. And so we get down to the end of the road. And so we just kind of start crawling. And then I'd put that pedal down and we'd just be flying. Now, I mean, we're not breaking like, 70, 80, 90 miles an hour often. And, there would be, Rob's right. I mean, the water would be over the road and we'd hit that thing. Dad's hearing this for the first time. Mom's hearing it in heaven. And, we'd hit that thing and that car would come, a little, it'd hydroplane a little. But the best part was, you remember those oversized tires Grandpa had me put on? That water would go flying. I mean, I was just watering the property. Dr. Horton should have paid me for water in his property. We'd shoot water everywhere. We laughed and laughed and laughed. We did that a few times back and forth. We just thought that was the best thing. I was like, all right, one more time, man. This one's going to be the best yet. And we went flying through that thing. And then I put on the brake. All this water rushed to the front of the car. And our feet were in water up to our ankles. We found out later that the floorboards in the back seat had rusted out so much, all this water was puddling up in the back of the car. And when I stopped, it all rushed forward, and our feet were ankle deep in water inside the car. I love that car. I love that car. I remember, man, we'd get into our parking spot and all that. You know, we had our little designated parking spot and all that. I remember one time I parked in front of the Commons because I want everybody to hear my car every once in a while. You know, that kind of thing. And so I got my mail or something like that. And so I backed out. I wasn't paying attention. I hit one of the light posts. I was like, oh, no. So all of a sudden, it was like, gong! I was like, oh, Dr. Horton's going to skin me alive. Everybody thinks that Dr. Horton knows all and sees all down there. I kind of wonder if he's still looking. Anyway, you know, so I was like, oh, no. And so I got out, and sure enough, I had hit it. My exhaust pipe stuck out from the bumper just a little bit. And so I'd hit it, and I knocked off one of my exhaust pipes. And it was lying there on the ground. And I was like, oh, it broke in the bracket. And so it was still attached to the muffler, kind of. And I was like, oh, no. I mean, of course, I'm trying to be cool. I've got this under control. Well, that was at the time when I was working for a Becca book, and I was in the distribution center, and so I still had my packing tape with me. I was like, I'm going to fix this. And so I'm Mr. Goodwrench. So I get underneath the car like I know what I'm doing, and I'm taking my packing tape, and I taped my exhaust system back to the frame of that car, and so you would see me going down the road, and my one exhaust pipe was going, you know, but I was still cool. I was still cool. I loved that car. I love that car. It grieved me sorely when I finally had to sell it. In fact, before I did, I actually pulled off the name off the side of it. I got my little scraper and pulled that thing off. I was going to bring it tonight, but I couldn't find it. I packed it. We'll find it tomorrow or whenever. Then 14,000 pounds of packing. But anyway, I love that car. That was just such a fun car to me. And I know I've talked to my dad before about some of his cars. If he'd have kept all his cars, wow. And most of you guys are the same way. You know, there's just something about that old car. I got to tell you something, though. It kind of grieves me a little bit sometimes when we're a little bit more excited about that first car. Man, don't mess with my car. Man, don't you make fun of my car. I mean, my Impala is going to smoke your Camaro. Yeah, right. And, and we'll get all to, man, don't you mess with my car. Man, don't you mess with my football team. Man, don't you talk that way about my guy. But, boy, I tell you what, when it comes to our church, whatever. It's all right. You know, bad mouth it. Don't you mess with my Mustang, man. Don't you talk that way about my Impala. Don't you talk that way about my wife. You hear something about our church? Boy, I tell you, let's take possession of this thing. You remember Pastor Weaver? He used to tell us that. I think one of the wisest statements he ever made was, pastor your ministry. Pastor your ministry. Do you remember him saying that, or am I the only one? Yeah, okay, several of you. He used to say that. I thought that was great advice. Pastor your ministry. Now, that doesn't mean you take over and you run it the way you want to. Obviously, there's authority that we need to be under. But you know, basically what he was saying is, you just take that thing and make it yours. You just take it. You just take possession of that thing. Sunday school teacher, you want to pastor your class. You want to just take a hold of that thing. And then that's just something I do. I've got this Sunday school class. Man, you never treated your first car that way. You don't treat your sports team that way. I hope you don't treat your family that way. Just don't treat your ministry that way either. Man, you take a hold of that thing. Man, that's my Sunday school class. Man, I care. When they're gone, I care. When they're here, I want them to be here. You take possession of your bus route. You take possession of the senior saints. Good luck with that. The sisters are right down here in front. They'll fight you all the way. Amen? There you go. The Twisted Sisters. Not really. You guys still like me?
No.
No? Where's the love? Brother Kelvin, take notes. All right. No more air conditioning for these two. All right. I'm just going to sweat you out. No. But take possession of it. I got to tell you something. That's really what I've done with the school. These years that I've had the opportunity to teach there and been a part of the school's ministry now, been on staff now for 12 years. And that's really what I've done. I pastored my classes. And then when the Lord gave me the opportunity to be the administrator, I really took it on. It's my school. I felt like, now again, not usurping the pastoral authority. It was my school. Those are my kids. You don't mess with my kids. Don't you mess with our school? Don't you mess with my school? This is our church family. And this is my church. And just the other day, just on Friday, we came over. And again, half the reason why we need two trucks is my office. And, and so finally, it's like, Dad's like, well, you ready to take the name off the door? Kind of like, yeah, I guess so. And so, we got out the little screwdriver and all that. And now I was like, no, so we popped the sign off the door. And it's kind of like, oof, it's kind of a little painful. And what? That's my school. That's my school. I got to change gears here. I got a week's time to change gears here a little bit. And but BBH, it's been my school for so long. I mean, I've been a part of this school really since 1982. I was here for 10 years, graduated, went off to Pensacola and got my degree and stayed and got my master's, came back and just went right back to work. It's my school, my church. See, but now it needs to be yours. Now you need to pastor it. You need to pastor that ministry. It doesn't matter what you do here. You just need to make it yours. See, our thinking's so funny. Man, we'll go to blows over our car, over our sports team, over our family. But when it comes to our church, for some reason, we're just kind of apathetic about it. I don't get that. I don't get that. Let's make this ours. You taught me this. This is something you've taught me. This is something I'm going to transfer down to Westgate. And pretty soon, Westgate's going to be my school. And those kids are going to be my kids. You taught me this. Actually, Caleb in the Bible taught me this, too. And shouldn't it be that way? I hope so. Be where you are. Make this your church. All right, let's move on. Number four, Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Of course, the books have been written. I'm sorry, have been read. And the law and all that. And verse 8, the Bible says, so they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And verse 9, of course, people are pretty upset, pretty convicted over what they read. But I like what it says in verse 10, especially. This is something I've tried to do. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry. Here it is. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Number four, serving the Lord can be fun. Amen. Serving the Lord can be fun. Now, I know the pious ones here. Blah, blah, blah. That's okay. You keep going ahead and being bored. I'm not going to be bored. I'm going to have a good time as much as I possibly can. Now, there's parts of our ministry that it's just work. You just have to knuckle down and just do it. But I got to tell you, the joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is our strength. I got to tell you, we've had an awful lot of fun serving together, haven't we? I can think of over and over instances. In fact, I just wrote down a few things. A lot of times. This is one of my favorite stories. I love this. You go easy on new teachers, okay? As new teachers come in and all that, you go easy on the rookies, okay? We've got basically a whole school full of rookies down at Westgate. I can't wait to get down there and begin to work with them and hopefully help them and encourage them a little bit, learn from my mistakes and maybe profit from some successes. But go easy on the rookies. I had a great year in 98. I don't know how much the kids got, but we had a wonderful time learning. And one of the best, I remember we had a study hall right before lunch. And my first year teaching and all that, it seemed like we had a lot of study halls my first year, but we had that first study hall right before lunch. And I was a new teacher, man. I vacuumed my room every day. I wiped down the desk every day. I had all these posters. I even had a fish tank in there. That wasn't my best move. And I was always skimming stuff out that didn't belong in a fish tank. And I'm sure it wasn't the kids, though. And, I remember, man, I had my desk all situated and all that kind of stuff. And I had my clock here on the desk. And I had my other clock there on the back of the room. You always put the clock at the back of the room. That way the kids aren't distracted by it and always looking at it. All that kind of thing. I followed all my rules there. And so I had it. It was like 20 after 11. And all of a sudden there was a knock at the door. And yeah, there's a parent that needs to see you and all that kind of thing. So, all right, so I went out there and seemed like we talked for a while and all that kind of stuff. And I came back in and I sat down and I was looking and all the kids were looking at me. I was kind of like, this is kind of odd. And one of them raised their hands like, Mr. Raymond, can we pack up for lunch? I was like, goodness, no, man, we can't pack up for lunch. Look at how much time we got. It's like 11:30 is all. And I looked at my clock on my desk, and it said, like, 2 minutes to 12. And I was like, that can't be right. But then the clock on the wall said 2 minutes to 12. I was like, I mean, I'm never in an argument to go to lunch. But I was like, how did that happen? I mean, this was before you carried a cell phone all the time with you. And so I was like, okay. And so I was like, I called on the student. I said, all right, you know, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get going. And so he stood up. They're all just as quiet as can be. He stood up, led us in a word of prayer. All right, we charged out in the hallway, and they all grabbed their lunches and all that. We're coming across the parking lot and all that kind of thing. Well, Coach Turner, how do you remember Coach Turner? Yeah. And so he's walking over and towards the school. He's like, Brother Raymond, what are you doing? I was like, we're going to lunch. What do you think? He's like, it's only 11:30. The kids just started roaring. I was like, are you serious? It really is? He's like, yeah, where are you going? I was like, and I looked at all those. I gave him the look of death. You know, they didn't care. They were laughing and carrying on. Do you know what I did to those kids? We went to lunch. What are you talking about? I was like, come on, let's go. And I was a rookie. And so we sat in the lunchroom and we ate. I was like, that's a good one. That is hilarious. If you ever do it again, I'm going to kill you. And but that's I'll give you that one. That was a good one. And we laughed about to this day. There's still just a few people. Hey, Brother Raymond, is it almost time for lunch? I was like, oh, shut up. And but it was a good one. You have to admit it. And I remember in junior church, it seems like I've been involved in junior church for as long as I can remember. We always play these games at the end of the time, and typically the boys get hammered. You know, attention spans about as short as a goldfish. And, you know, so I mean, they were losing big time on the review game. And so we were up there and we're asking all these questions like, man, the guys just could not get a question right to save their life. And I was like, all right, here we go. All right, guys, this is a no-brainer. You're going to get this one. All right, you know, first person to raise your hand, I'll give you, what day of the week is it? What? Today! I can't argue with that. It is today. All right, come on up, you know. But it's like, today? What day of the week is it today? I had to give it to him, though. I remember this, again, goes back to my rookie year of school. I won't embarrass it because I think his family's still here. I don't want to embarrass him. Jamie and Don, are you here? Okay. And I don't want to say which one of their kids it was, but his name rhymes with Andrew. And but I remember, you know, Andrew, very precise in his work. He didn't want to get in trouble, wanted to obey all the rules, made sure he got his work done in time. We started a class one day. It was a very small class. And I was like, you know, I think it was a basic math class. It had to have been if I was teaching it. And I was like, hey, guys, you know, where's Andrew? And I think it was Joseph Matash. He was like, oh, he's in the bathroom. And I was like, okay, you know, so waited a couple more minutes. And then it was kind of like, do we need to go check on him? Is he okay? And they're kind of snickering and all that kind of stuff. I was like, what? Nothing. He's in the bathroom. I don't recommend you do this, but this was just another one of those rookie things. I was like, all right, guys, hang on for a second. And so I went in there in the bathroom. And, okay, there's a set of feet in there. So we've got that much, okay. And so I just kind of went over and, hey, Andrew, you all right in there? Yes, sir, I'm fine. And you can hear the scribbling. He'd forgotten to do his homework or something like that. And I was like, we'll be waiting for you in the classroom when you're done. Let me know if you need anything, okay? No, sir, I'm doing fine. And, you know, so he comes back in. He's all red-faced because we all know he wasn't really... Anyway, and he's kind of doing his homework and all that kind of thing. It's like, these are things you just don't ever forget, although sometimes you wish you could. I remember there's a lot of things that happened in 98. It's really interesting I continued working here after that. But anyway, I remember another time in my class. Is Josh Beagle here? He's not going to admit it if he is. Okay. And Josh Beagle, I used to have such a great time with him. People don't like, you know, I mean, Josh was a bit of a high-strung character, liked to clown around. Some people don't like it. I'm drawn to that type of person, even if it's a student. They're going to make me work hard, but it's just so worth it. And but I remember Josh one time, he decided he was going to pull one on me. You know, I always let them choose their own seat, but then that became their assigned seat. So guess where Josh sat? Back corner. And so he was back there. We started class one day. I was like, where's Josh? Oh, I don't know. He's out in the hallway or something like that. Well, I was like, well, I kind of peeked my head. It didn't seem or anything like that. And so I kind of started joking around a little bit, kind of waiting for him to get there so I could give him his tardy. And about 5-10 minutes, that wrestler did not show up. And so I kind of started ripping on him a little bit, making fun of him and all that kind of thing and all that. And so, all right, let's go and get started with the class. So we went through the whole class, and the bell rang. And when it did, all the coats underneath that 5 set of chairs started to move. Josh had actually laid down underneath all the chairs, and all the kids had put coats over him, and he actually sat in that classroom the whole time, heard everything we said and did, and he had lay there the whole time until the bell rang, and he, great lesson, Brother Raymond. I wanted to kill him. Actually, I just thought it was such a great move. Now, kids, I've spoiled all your ideas. I just thought that was so funny. Profitable? Not as much. But funny? Absolutely. You know what? I think sometimes we're a little too serious. I think maybe sometimes we just need to learn to, especially about ourselves, just lighten up. Just lighten up. Is it life heavy enough? And don't you have enough burdens without making it worse by blah, 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 about this and nah, 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 about this? Aren't we supposed to cast our cares upon Him? If He's got all of our cares, we should be pretty lightweight, spiritually speaking. And I've been lightweight since about 2001. But anyway, you know, but that's how we should be. Serving the Lord really can be a lot of fun. You've taught me that. My goodness, if we started talking about the vacation Bible schools and the missions conferences. I've been every idiotic character I can think of. I'm kind of looking forward to going to a vacation Bible school and just sitting there and laughing at somebody else. It probably won't happen, though. And I'm sure I'll get duped. Praying over doing something. And but, you know, let's just, you know, it'll be okay if you have fun. It'll be okay if you laugh. I think it might just about be okay if you smile every once in a while about things too. Serving the Lord can be, and maybe should be, a lot of fun. Oh, if we could open the floor and just let everybody start talking about some of the experiences, I can only imagine how long we'd go. You taught me that. I'm going to try to take this down to Westgate. I'm going to try to be a blessing to help to them down there. Serving the Lord can be fun. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Then finally, number five. Let's move on quickly. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Let's look at this real quickly. Roman numeral 5. Our families in God's will is our greatest achievement. Our families in God's will is our greatest achievement. These are things you've taught me. This is something you've taught me. How important our families are. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. It's an interesting story, and just in regards to really why the Lord, why the children of Israel wanted a king. And actually, you know what? I'm sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Let's look at this. I'm sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 8. I've got my references switched here in my notes. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Our families in God's will is our greatest achievement. This is interesting. We go back to in Israel's history and we talk about why it was that they wanted a king. Traditionally, what is it? What has always been the reason why we've always talked about Israel wanting a king? Do you remember why it was? Anybody remember? Why was it? Because everybody else had one. That's mostly true. That's true, but let's look at it a little bit more closely and just see something that this to me is just very, very interesting. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons," here it is, "walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the..." Now notice now, it's the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel and to Ramah, and said unto him, "Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Isn't that interesting? Because you and I have always been told basically the same. Israel wanted to be like everybody else and all that, and they wanted to have a king. That was partially true, but what was the reasoning behind that? I think there was a family failure there. Without being judgmental, I think Samuel, though, there was a failure in his life that he didn't train up his sons the right way. Isn't that what the Bible says? Train up a child the way he should go, when he's older, and not depart from him. Isn't that what it says? That's what it says. And so I think there's a failure there. Now, we can even take that a step farther, because really, who basically trained Samuel? Eli. We know he was a failure in the family department. We know his sons didn't turn out. So Samuel himself really didn't have a great role model in front of him. He then in turn basically ends up having the same failure in his life. And because of that, everybody seemed pretty happy under his leadership, but when they saw, and these are the elders, when the elders said, "Hey, you know what, Samuel?
things are not going to go well. Your sons don't follow like you do. They don't walk in the same paths that you do. I got to tell you, we don't like the way this is shaping up. So why don't we just go and get a king like everybody else? Isn't that interesting? I got to tell you, that is a very convicting passage to me, because that tells me the importance of our families. That tells me, men especially, our responsibilities as husbands and dads to lead our families the right way. We won't take time for it, but it's in there. 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 4, and then chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. God, on the other hand, is talking to Solomon, and he's talking about, Solomon, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to do all these great things for you if you walk in the way that your father did. And if you do the things that your father did, I'm going to bless you for David's sake, but I'm also going to bless you because you do what's right. And Solomon, of course, we know, again, David had his issues. He had Absalom and other issues to deal with there. But with Solomon, in the beginning, for sure, there was a good thing. There was a good role model there. There was a good leading there. And Solomon, of course, gained great fame just because of his wisdom and all that. And so we see a bit of a contrast there. I don't know about you. I'm so convicted and I'm so concerned about the welfare of our families in our churches today. It is a very great concern of mine when we see so many graduates, not just of Berean Baptist Academy, but nationwide, leaving Christian schools and just fading away. That's not how it's supposed to be. And I'm afraid too many times we have sacrificed our families in the name of something else, something that wasn't as good. I got to tell you, when I found out back in February that I wouldn't be able to continue here and serve, one of my greatest concerns was about Angel and Jeffrey. It was one of the first things that came to my mind. Lord, how can I lead them? Where are we going to go? What is it we're going to do? Make a mistake by myself, pick myself up and get back on. But what about my wife? What about my son? Even just in the Lord closing the door just in recent weeks, just sought a lot of counsel about it. And it's like, boy, you know, you just need to really make sure that you're making the right decision, because you've got a wife and a son who are following you. What a responsibility. What a responsibility. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for a dad and a mom who always pointed me to God's will. Mom's words ring in my ears even to this day. You have to have biblical discernment. You have to know what God wants you to do. Find out what He wants you to do, and then you do it. And my dad taught me equally. I remember a conversation we had after my freshman year at Pensacola, and I really wanted to go somewhere else. And he said, but what did God call you to do? And he called me to go here. Did God change His mind? No. Then you don't need to change your mind either. You stick with it. This is God's will. You told me. You prayed about it. You fasted about it. I'm so thankful for parents who pointed me in the right direction and said, you know what? This is God's will. Walk in it. Go in the way. And my dad sacrificed more than any man I've ever known for us to have Christian education. If you knew the insane hours that he worked at Ford Motor Company, when you and I typically are dreaming dreams, dad was already at work. And he did it 6 days a week. And for years and years and years, for Jay and I to have Christian education here at Berean, and then to go on to college and all those things, and he sacrificed. To this day, he just still is a blessing to us. And hey, I just want to help you with this and all that kind of thing. And we are so blessed. I'm so blessed. Dad, I just want to publicly thank you for just being the blessing that you've been, and again, leading our family the right way. And he did it. He did it. When I came home from conferences and, hey, you know what, I think the Lord is going to have me do this. It wasn't, well, you know, you need to think about that. Or, we need to kind of have a backup plan. It was like, hey, you know what, I am thrilled. We're just going to start praying that the Lord continues to do great things. I had nothing but full support from my home when it came to God's will. And whatever it was, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for Angel. These last few months, 2010 has been quite a year for our family, I got to tell you. Most of you know most of what's going on, obviously, with, again, finding out in February that just because of the finances and all that here, I'm going to be the third staff member let go. Of course, Mom went to heaven in April. Her father, my grandfather, went to heaven then. I believe it was in May or June. Jasmine, of course, went through major surgery. We were here all summer thinking we had a position in Ohio. The Lord closed that door. 3 weeks ago, we had nothing. And now here we are. We're on our way to Tampa. The purchase agreement's been signed for our house. And we're ready to go. That's just the path of God's will for us. That's just, and my wife, through the whole thing, she supported me. Angel's been the consummate cheerleader. She's been the encourager. When she can tell I'm starting to kind of get under the weight a little bit, she'll lighten the load for me. And Jeffrey's been the same way. The kid, he's been a terrific two, not a terrible two. And that kid's just been amazing to me. I've just been so blessed. I've been so blessed with a family like I have. It's just been amazing. I'm fearful, though. I'm afraid a lot of times, though, we've sacrificed our families on the altar of the job, on the altar of money, on the altar of busyness. I'm fearful that sometimes even family gets sacrificed on the altar of ministry. It's not supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be that way. Family needs to be near the top of the list all the time. Now, there's times, of course. Family's got to take a little bump down. Something's got to be cared for. You got to put in that extra time. You got to do this. That's true. I got to tell you something, though. God says, hey, you know what? The family was my first institution. Not this, not that, not your job, not this bank account, even not this ministry. I told Pastor Pert, one of the first things, we had our formal interview and all that, and we were going through, and he was asking me all these questions, and I told him, I said, you know, we were well into it, and I said, I just got to tell you something. I said, I am a huge pro-family man. I said, I will not be here till midnight every night. I refuse. I will not do it. I will do everything that's asked of me. I will work smarter, maybe not harder, but I will do everything that's asked of me. But I tell you, my light will not be the last one on here every night. I'm going home. I've got a wife and a son who need me. God gave them to me. In my opinion, they are the most important people in my life. God has given them to me, and it's my responsibility. I will answer for them someday, and I'm supposed to be the leader. We need to take our families that seriously. Now, don't ever use them as an excuse. Don't use them as a crutch. Well, I hear it. But I got to tell you, there are times where you have to say, you know what? It's family time. The work in the ministry, when does it ever stop? There's times where it's like, hey, you know what? This can wait till tomorrow. I'm going home. You know, Jeffrey, you know, I've just got to go home. And I'm just going to go spend some time. There are times where it's like, goodness, and Brother Chase and all of our staff know this, you know, it's school, and then it's practice, and then it's this game, and then it's this activity, and all those kind of things. And they're all great, and they all have their place, but first is not it. Not all the time. Sometimes you got to say, hey, you know what? That's fine, I'm going home. And hey, fellas, sometimes you got to say, you know what? That Saturday paycheck sure would be good, or that Sunday paycheck, wow, the pay, but wow, the cost. You can talk to Dad anytime you want to about guys that he worked with at Ford that just worked themselves to death. And they probably have millions of dollars in the bank. And they go home to an empty house every night because their wife left them years ago. Their kids got out of that house as fast as they could. Who cares? He's always at work. That was all it was to him. I got to tell you something. I don't think there's enough money in the world. I know there's not enough money in the world to sacrifice my family. I got to tell you. Lord knows my heart. There's great ministries, but there's no ministry in the world great enough to sacrifice my family. Let's just be honest, folks. Let's just be honest. Now, you taught me that our families, in God's will, is our greatest achievement. I sure hope we'll do that. I sure hope. And again, I think Brian's good at it. But like anything, I think we can always be a little bit better. Boy, I tell you, the success of this church is not on those yellow buses parked out there in the yard. The success of the church is not even necessarily in the school building, although that's a byproduct for sure. It's not what goes on downstairs. The success of this church is really what's going on in this room right here. It's the families that are here. We can inflate our numbers and have huge numbers coming in on the buses, and I don't decry that at all. But the fact of the matter is, the core of our churches, the success and the failure of our churches is in our families. It's really in our families. Let's guard these things. My heart breaks when I hear about failures and defeats in our families, and it just makes me just cringe when I hear about that, because Satan knows. He knows. That's where the crosshairs are on his guns. I'm going to get after your homes. I'm going to get after your family. And I'm going to you can't even use ministry to do it. Boy, let's be careful. Again, now don't you ever use that as a crutch. Well, I can't. But I got to tell you, there are times where it's like, you know what? Nope. This is family night. It's got to be. I've got to have this. You protect that thing. I'll tell you this, though. If you ask the Lord for wisdom that way, He'll give you the family time you need. He really will. There won't be too many conflicts. There might be from some time to time. But you know what? There won't be too many. You guard that family. You protect that family. I think one of my favorite activities we had in the youth group was the bigger and betters. How many of you like those? I know Brother Caleb's done some of those. And I remember when I was a teenager, we did those bigger and better activities. I always loved those things. There was just an air of excitement. Man, what are we going to do? What are we going to find? You know, I don't know. We started with like a dollar or a penny, and you got like 2 hours to go trade up and all that kind of thing. I remember one time in particular when I was a teenager, we did that. And we came back. I don't remember what our group did. I tried to remember, but I just could not. But I remember one of the groups came back with a semi-trunk front end. I'm sorry, a semi-truck front end. They had the headlights, the fenders, and then the hood. And they brought that thing out like this big old tow truck and all that. I don't know what, I'm sure it was some junkyard or whatever. I was like, man, that is awesome. And Pastor Brian was here and everybody's getting their pictures taken. And obviously they won. I mean, they definitely had the bigger thing for sure. I was like, man, that is awesome. That is so cool, man. How'd you guys do that? And, we just traded up and all that kind of thing. We just thought, you know, what can we do to get better? What, you know, and I got to think about it. It's like, you know what? Churches, our mindset, we should be on a bigger and better activity all the time. All the time. What can we do better? How can we make this better? You know, we ought not get satisfied. If you came back at the end of that activity 2 hours later with a dollar, I still got my dollar. Everybody's like, you are a loser. Why would you do that, man? Go trade that thing up. Go. It seems like the Bible talks about that some. And but you know what? Sometimes I'm afraid as churches and as a church, sometimes I'm afraid we just kind of get, okay, we got our dollar. Man, I got to tell you, I don't want the dollar. Man, let's go trade that thing up. Let's go find out something that we can do even a little bit better. And let's go see, is there a better way? Let's keep moving forward. Let's keep going ahead. And let's just see what we can do for the cause of Christ. Don't you kind of wonder a little bit? Don't you kind of think, boy, what could happen here? What could happen in Adrian, Michigan? What could happen here with Berean Baptist Church? You knew this was coming into this somewhere down the line. He is not a theologian by any means. I think Walt Disney, though, had some great quotes. You knew it was coming, didn't you? And I love this quote. I heard this. I was like, you know what? If churches would take this and run with it, wow. Here's just a simple quote. He says, around here, we don't look backwards for very long. We keep moving forward, opening new paths, doing new things, because we're curious, and curiosity keeps leading us down new paths. Now, he's not a theologian, and I'm not saying that was a spiritual quote, but I got to tell you, I love the one phrase, we keep moving forward. You know, I'm afraid sometimes that Berean, and I don't know, I'm just saying what's on my heart. I'm just being a little transparent. I'm afraid every once in a while, the car kind of gets put in neutral a little bit. And we're just kind of going along. This is good. Now, we're doing good things. Don't get me wrong. We're active and we're busy and all that kind of thing. But sometimes I just kind of sense just a little complacency that, okay. Now I hope I'm wrong. But I've been here for a little while. And I've seen some things. And I've seen God do some great things. And I know you have too. But I just want us to be careful that way. Here's my question for you tonight. We'll be done. I've taken longer than I wanted to, but we're to the end. Let me ask you a question, though, tonight. Of course, don't answer it out loud. Are Berean's best days ahead of it or behind it? What'd you just think? What'd you just think in your mind? Oh, man, I've been here since the 80s and 90s, and I know what it is. You know what? Can I tell you something? Whatever answer you just answered is the correct answer. Because if that's how you feel in your mind, that's all that's going to happen. If you felt like, yeah, man, it was 20 years ago, was our best days, then they were. But if you're sitting here going, mm-mm, I believe our best days are in front of us, you know what? They are. That's one of the most exciting parts about Westgate. Westgate, can I tell you something? I didn't share this with you the other day. Westgate, at one time, their church was running about 1,300 people. Their school at its zenith was running 450. The enrollment's at 103 right now, and the church enrollment, the church attendance is about 475. Now, it's for the right reasons. There's a massive movement. ACE had a lot of people in the church and all that kind of thing. ACE went to Tennessee, took about 800 people with them. And the school has some different financial issues and all that. So for the right kind of reasons, quote unquote, the school and the church is the size that they are. But here's one of the things that immediately drew me to Pastor Purdon, that ministry down there. He said, you know what? He said, that was then. But church, we're moving on.
we're moving forward. And we have this massive 1,500-seat auditorium with about 350 people in it. But he said, with God as my helper, we're going to fill this thing up. And we're going to do it the right way. We're going to go out and win them to Christ, and we're going to bring them in. That's what we're going to do. And I said, you know what, that is music to my ears. And he said, that school ran about 450 at one time. We're thrilled for the enrollment of 103. I've already told him, I said, Pastor Pert, I'm going to get on board with you, and with the Lord as our helper, we're going to fill the school up. He said, that's what I want to hear. Is that your mentality? Is that your mentality? Do you remember? We used to have the signs, you know, think 550, think 600. Do you remember those signs they used to post around here and all that kind of thing? Do you think that anymore? Or do you kind of look at the bulletin? Yeah, yeah. You know, the giving, do you know about 10 years ago, the giving and the budget and all that was about $12,000? If you look at the back of the bulletin today, now I'm not saying anything. This is my last shot, I know. But I'm just saying, where are we going here? Oh, it's the economy. I think we're using that a little too much. I think that's a crutch a little too much, because that kind of makes God sound weak to me. If he's stuck on the economy. Now, again, I know it. Trust me. I'm person number three that knows the economy situation here at our church. I get it. But I got to tell you something. I think it's time for us to move on. I think it's time for us to move forward. And I think it's time for us to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, it's true. What's happened's happened. But it's time for us to get on board. Let's just move this thing on. Yeah, the 80s and 90s, yeah, those were great decades. But they're the past. Okay? It's time for us to move forward. It's time for us to move forward. Wouldn't you agree? Don't you think it's time? Anything that's healthy is growing. Anything that's alive, something's happening there. There are a lot of good things happening here. Don't get me wrong. You've taught me a lot. The lessons are in front of you. There are many more. But I just, as I leave you, and as my family and I go and we start a new chapter, a new time in our lives, man, let's move ahead. Let's see Breen move ahead. Don't you think by now we should be in a building program to get this auditorium bigger? Don't you dream of that? I'll tell you my dream, and I'll be done. I know I've said that three or four times. I just don't want to stop. But I should, because there's a fellowship downstairs. And didn't you ever dream about that here? I dreamed. Oh, if I could be a part of the church and there'd be a thousand. This auditorium can't legally seat that.
Legally.
1,000. Man, that would be so cool. Man, you know, we'd have to turn and fan this thing out and all that kind of thing. Wouldn't that be? And I dreamed about the school. It's like, man, if I could be here and it'd be 175. I don't know why. I just chose 175. But I was like, man, I would love to be a part of that building program and see that gymnasium put down and all that kind of thing and just see us just take over this whole property and all that kind of thing. Do you ever dream about that? Do you ever vision that? Or do you just come here, we do our thing, and go back home? Man, I got to tell you, it's time for us to say, hey, you know what? The past is the past. I want to move forward. I want to move forward. I wish. Almost made it. I wish I could be here to see. I wish I could be here when you have that day where there is 1,000. You remember that big day we had when we had 1,000 that one time? You remember that? I remember that. I think it was back in the 80s. You remember those spring and fall programs, those crazy things we used to, the Hatfields versus the McCoys, the North versus the South. You remember those? You see, when you remember those things? You get little ribbons and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, you remember those things. Pastor Weaver, every promotion he ever had ended up being dinner at his house. But man, Mrs. Weaver could cook, so you went for it. But do you remember? I wanted to be here for it. But I can't. In 2001, the school's enrollment was 135. This year, I think it's 82. I'm not saying anything about anything. I sure would like to see the direction start to go back up again. Sure would like to see you break that 100 mark here again. Sure would like to see you break that 500 mark and that 600 mark and that 700 mark. Sure would like to see you get that gymnasium. See,
come on, it's just a gymnasium. But it's growth. It's movement. It's action. I wanted to be here to see it. I can't. I sure hope you'll just take some of the lessons that you've taught me, and maybe just for a moment, maybe the student can be the teacher. Are best days ahead of us, or are they behind us? Let's decide tonight. Let's just set everything else aside. Let the past be the past. Let the personal feelings just set aside. Can we just come together as a church tonight and say, I'm moving ahead. I'm moving ahead. Berean Baptist Church's best days while I'm here are in front of me. And you can't just sit here and say, with him. Now, he's responsible for a lot of things, no doubt about it. But a church is far, far greater than one person. It's a family. And when this family decides, you know what? It's time. It's time. I wish Mary Nixon was on staff again. She should be. I wish Caleb Engel was here full time. This church needs a full time youth pastor. They should be. Should be. This crutch of the finances has got to stop. And I'm sorry, I'm way off my notes now, but I suppose the Holy Spirit's in it. But we got to turn this thing around. We got to turn this thing around. I just cannot believe that with the people that we have here, we can't move ahead. I wish I could stay. I can't. There's another place for me now. And the Lord's in it. This isn't a sob story. The Lord's in it. I think maybe in my thick-headedness, it's the only way he'd get me to go somewhere else is if he made me. And I think that's a lot of it because I love it here and I'll always love it here. These have been the best 29 years of my life. But it's time to move on. It's time for a church. It's time to move on. Tonight, won't you join me with that? Let's decide the best days, they're ahead. And I'm going to do everything I can to make it happen. Father, thank you so much for the lessons of our church. I'm indebted. I love this place. I love these people. They're as much of my family, it seems like, as the blood that flows through my veins. It's the only church, really, it seems like I've ever known. Lord, I sure wish we'd move ahead. I sure wish Berean Baptist Church would move ahead. It just seems like we've just struggled. It just seems like we just can't seem to push past this thing. Father, I sure wish we would. I don't know, maybe you'd use this simple message tonight to maybe just relight that fire that's been a little stagnant for a while and say, you know what, let's move ahead. Let's get back to soul winning again, just weekly soul winning. Let's get back to 20 and 30 and 40 people being out soul winning on Thursdays and bus routes going strong and Sunday school classes being pastored by their teachers. And let's get back to this financial thing and start digging deep again and sacrificing. And maybe it's time to turn in the cell phone and maybe it's time to cut the cable and maybe it's time to sell the vacation home or maybe it's just time to just start tithing and being obedient. And let's just move ahead. Father, you said the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against the church. Lord, with a promise like that, I don't see any direction for us to go but ahead. I sure wish we would. I sure wish we would. I'm thankful for what you're doing in our lives. I'm thankful for where you're calling us to, but I love this place. I love these people. It's my church for a few more days. It's my church family. For a little bit longer. I just want to see him go on ahead. Lord, I know that you do too. So I pray maybe this invitation, maybe something here will stir us to, you know what, enough is enough. We're moving on. Our best days start today. We're going forward. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Would you stand with me if you would, please? We'll just have the instruments play. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Make the decision tonight, would you please? Are the best days ahead of us or behind us? If you're one of the ones that say, you know what, I want the best days to be ahead, let's make it public now. Let's come on. Let's come on. Don't you want to be a part of it? Don't you want to be a part of the growth?